Shitas Rambam is that you don't end up being Kolei Fudo with a Goy, or not, or whatever you want to call it. Why is it that you're allowed to eat the Palter Palter Israel Shekana Aku? Or, like, it says in Iran somewhere, I think in Iran maybe, that you can eat bread, like wholesale made bread, at the house of an Aku, and he serves it to you. But if the whole purpose of the Rambam is that why you can't eat Pas Aku is so that you don't come to Lesod im Aku, why can you eat kosher bread in the house of an Aku and he serves to you?
So that is a very good question. We're going to put that, let's put that on the back burner, because that may play into some of the fundamental lumdus that goes into the definitions of Pas Aku and Bishul Aku. It may not. It's one of those lumdusha chilukim that works very nicely when you say it over, but it doesn't necessarily play out great in the words of the Rishonim. So we'll hold off on that. But seemingly, it always goes based on the origins of the pas, right? Whatever, yeah. If it was baked for commercial purposes, then it's considered pas palter. If it was baked for private purposes, it's considered, you know, pas balabais. That seems to be the way it goes. But we'll have to figure out if that always makes sense. So, but it's a very good question. Okay, so let's finish up what we were talking about yesterday, which was the Shita of Tosfos and the Rush. So we saw it in Tosfos, where basically Tosfos said, the Gemara starts off by saying, nobody was ever matir it in Beis Din. So Tosfos takes that as sort of a cue that maybe somebody was matir it, or it just wasn't ever formal. Right, and he brings a raya. We'll go back to the raya from the case of Rabbi Nasiya, but he quotes the Yerushalmi also, right, in Perakam de Shabbos, pas amdu alavi hitirua. Right, so he throws in an important thing at the end. He says that even though some people keep pas akum, some people don't, you can eat together. You don't have to treat it like it's totally non-kosher, because you know, we're not worried about the flavor of the pas mixing with the other flavor of the pas. It was just a gzera on the bread itself. It wasn't necessarily a gzera on the flavor of the bread. Right? Fine. So that's let's go to the Rush. I think Tosfos Shita will be a little bit clearer. So it's the Rush in Siman Chav Zayin. And we'll pick it up in the middle, where you see where the carbon Pilpuli Charifta has the letter Nun. You see where that is? Right. So really, I mean, it seems to me that Tosfos and the Rush, and they quote this also from the Mordechai, it's all the same Shita. It's all the same shita. So he says, "Ubilvad mina palter," should come from a baker. Midikamar Talmuda mechlal di kaman de shari. So from the fact that the Gemara says, it sounds like somebody holds its mutter. Mashma diyadua hayalohem sheyesh mekol mashenogim oheter. Right. So it sounds like, in other words, there was a real person. Mechlal di kaman de shari. So as we'll see, the Ran doesn't like that at all. Right. The Ran. When it says, the Gemara says, Ikam man deshari, he's like, yeah, some fool, not real people. You know, but the Tosfos and the Rosh say, no, you see from here that there were some real people, real poskim or communities that held that Pas Akum was mutter. Ulahachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Pas Lohutra Bebezdin, Shalotit De Lomar, Kevin Sheish Makoma Shalokhan, Pas Shalovi Kochavim, Alma Hutra Bebezdin. In other words, that might mislead you into thinking that there was actually a formal takana of Beis Din that permitted pas akum, and now everywhere they can eat pas akum. So in other words, the way the Rush learns Rabbi Yochanan's objection is, no, of course the places where they hold its mutter, you know, go ahead, enjoy. But the places where they hold it's usr, it's still usr. You need a formal takana, meaning if let's say in New York, right, I guarantee you there was never an isser of pasakam in New York during the times of the Gemara. Right? That's a fair statement. I don't think whoever, if anyone was living in the United States of America at that time, they weren't keeping pasakam. So there was never an isser of pasakam in New York, and it never caught on. So now somebody comes to New York and they're like, well, am I allowed to eat pasakam or not? So Rabbi Yochanan would say, hey, you know, there is such a takana. Granted, some people rejected that takana when it came out and they never kept it. But, you know, it's there. It's out there. You should keep it. So in New York, you should keep Pas Yisrael because it's a real takana. It was never canceled. And therefore, if you don't know that you're from a place that actively rejected the takana of Pas Yisrael, you should keep Pas Yisrael. And Kal Vachomer, if you're in a place that actually accepted, I mean, New York never accepted pot, we never rejected it, we never accepted it, we just didn't have any Jews, right? Or you go to the Far East, right? Up until very recently, there were never any Jews in the Far East, right? I mean, recently by Jewish standards, you know, not, you know, last couple of hundred years, maybe there are a few Jews here and there, but mostly not, right? So you go to the Far East, you say, what's the halacha of Pas Yisrael in the Far East? You have to eat Pas Yisrael, or you can eat Pas Akum. So Rabbi Yochanan would probably argue, you should keep Pas Yisrael, right? Because there is such a takana. But in a place like, you know, where Rabbi Yochanan was in Eretz Yisrael, so he says, in Eretz Yisrael, where Rabbi Yochanan was, where they were actually keeping Pas Yisrael, of course you have to keep Pas Yisrael. Don't say, well, I just went to this other community, and they were not keeping Pas Yisrael, so obviously somebody canceled the takana, and I can come back to Eretz Yisrael and eat Pas Akum. No way. Wherever they kept it, for sure, you have to keep it. And the places where they never kept it, okay, so they don't have to keep it. That's how the Rush seems to be learning. Right? So he says, this is the Gedolim. So he ups the ante a little bit. He says, you want to know who holds that Pasakam is Mutter? The Gedolim. Right? That's how you get anything done nowadays. You say the Gedolim said. Right? So also the Rush knew that trick. So he said that it wasn't just Stam people who didn't care about Halacha who were eating Pasakum. The Gedolim of these areas were eating Pasakum. Is Pasakum tied to Bishalakum? I mean, there's... So no. So clear, it seems that Pasakum is one Takana and Bishalakum is another Takana. Right, the Gemara, the Mishnah refers to one as pas and one as shlokos, right? So shlokos usually means, in the Gemara, usually means steamed vegetables or boiled vegetables, right? So obviously we expand the concept of bishalakum to other things, and we'll discuss, when we get to the sugya bishalakum, we'll discuss, like, does that include sli, does that include afia, meaning like I took chicken and I put it on a pan and I baked it in the oven, so is that bishalakum, or is it afias? You know, maybe it's like pas because I turned the oven to bake, just like if I put bread in the oven, I turn it to bake. So the answer seems to be no. Pas in halacha always has this, in halacha nowadays as well, and in those days in Metzius had a very special category of the staple food that everybody ate, and therefore they made a special gzera by pas that may or may not apply to other things. Right, the next topic we'll try to do, we'll have one more just on clarifications on this, and then we'll try to discuss, so how is it, the Gemara discusses, how are you matir pasakum, right? What do you do to fix the problem? So we'll have to see, does that really, is it the same thing you would do to fix bishalakum, or is it a little bit, are we a little bit more makel by one or the other? Right, so that's all, it really is a separate takana, but bishalakum is a little bit more broad and far-reaching, and we'll see some of the chumras of bishalakum did not apply to pasakum. So they really were two separate takanas. But definitely everywhere we're talking about here, they all kept bishalakum. They all were makbedav, only bishal Yisrael, whereas by pas, they weren't so makbed in certain places to keep anything, it seems. Now let's be very clear, I just want to point out that according to the Rush and Tosfos, it sounds very clear that were they makbid, how makel were they? Were they makel that they ate paspalter? Sounds to me, and I think it's pashut this way, that they were so makel that they ate everything. They ate pas balabayas, they ate paspalter. You know, there was no iser pasakim whatsoever. Right? So it sounds from that Tosos and the Rosh are completely makel. They don't have any iser whatsoever. Right? And then they said that because they say that these gedolim say, why? Because we come from the places where the iser never said it. If there's no iser, there's no iser. So you can't say that pas balabayas is the iser and paspalter is not the iser. What? Right. So they're just saying, like, they're looking around and they're saying, you know, the Rosh has two issues. Number one, he's looking around and he's saying, what's with this weird Gemara? Where Rabbi Yochanan's like, has this strange phrase. Like, the Gemara's starting point is, by the way, you should know, Beis Din was never matir this. Like, why would I have thought that it was matir? He says, no. So we see that there were those who were matir it, but it was never formal. So then he said, second of all, he's looking at Maisim B'chol Yom. He's like, I live in Germany, and in Germany, everybody's eating Pasakum. So, and you want to say, like, they're not so from. Like, all the big Rabbanim are doing it. So it's hard for him to say, like, wait a minute. You know, so he says, no, we assume that the Jews who migrated to Germany from, you know, eventually from the, you know, everybody was at some point from Eretz Yisrael and Bavel, and they eventually went to Germany and France and all these other places where the Rishonim found themselves. And he says, yeah, because the people who settled in Germany held that they were from the places in Eretz Yisrael and Bavel where Pas Akum never caught on. And they never kept it. They said, my great-great-great-grandfather never kept it either. I'm not any firmer than he was. So that that seems to be what he's saying. And he has three rayas that this is not just something that the people made up. Right? So he has Chen Muchach, right? Raya number one, Lekaman, Shepas Lo Poshet Yisuro, Mitikamar Av Simloy Lerav Yehuda, Nesiyah, Biyomenu Tatar Es HaPas, Veishiv Lo, and Kein Karole Beidin Asharia Mashma, Halav Hach Yava Matira. Right? So that was the same. We saw that in Tosfos yesterday. Right? So he says to Reb Simloy, he said to Reb Yehuda Nesiyah, hey, why don't you be Matir Pas Akum? He's like, I can't. It's like, I already was matir two other things. Like, I can't just be the basin that's matir everything. So, but he says, it must be that he could have if he wanted to. He just didn't want to because he didn't want to be known as a reform rabbi. So that was his objection. But how is it possible? Right, we'll have to talk more about this later. How is it possible that he could have been matir it even if he wanted to? Because if a gzera never catches on, you're allowed to be matir it. Right? Va'od raya. Raya number two. Shikasu b'halachal shebein b'nei Eretz Yisrael l'b'nei Bavel. Right? I think this is one of the writings of the Gaonim. In the writings of the Gaonim, they had Hilchos Eretz Yisrael and Hilchos Bavel, and they wrote up a list of things that were differentiated between the two. And they said, Bavel nosnin kiseim l'tochatana. What do they do in Bavel to be mater pasakum? They take a kiseim. What's a kiseim? It's like a splinter, right? They take a small piece of wood and they just throw it into the oven, right? What does that do? Nothing, really. So that's what we're going to have to get to eventually, hopefully beginning of next week. We'll get to... Yeah, but this is less than turning on the stove. This is like, you know, it was on 310 degrees, and I moved it up to 311. You know, so that really did very, very... 311 for 5 minutes, you know, and then it's going to go back to 310. So that really does very little. But that was the heter that they had in Bavel to make it considered to be Pas Yisrael. Right? So that was in Bavel. What good does this kisem do? I mean, it does nothing. So they said they didn't buy it. Ella makom sheis ana. They say makom sheis ana bo shloshe yamim pas shalovik kochavim mutter mibnei chaye nefesh. Right? Uvarov makomos pizurenu ein palter Yisrael matzoi v'avi kamois ana shloshe yamim. So his raya is that. The B'nai Eretz Yisrael said, look, this business with throwing in a piece of wood, that doesn't help. If it's a place where a Jew's been fasting for 3 days, I don't think literally fasting, it means he hasn't had bread for 3 days because he can't get any Pas Yisrael, so he can buy Pas Akum. That's what they said in the halachas of Eretz Yisrael. they made fun of the Babylonians for trying to like find heterim for Pas Yisrael, for Pas Akum, and they said, hey, we just eat Pas Akum. Because the Rush is saying, I don't know where the Rush ends. I don't have a copy of this particular sefer that he's quoting, but I don't know where the writings of Eretz Yisrael end and the Rush begins. But my guess is it ends where he says Mipnei Chayei Nefesh, and then the Rush is what? Yeah, the Ron quotes it also, so I think that's where that ends, right? And there's a Rov Mekomos Pizurenu, Ein Palter Yisrael Matsui. There were very few Jewish bakeries where they were spread out. V'Havei Kemo Isana Shlosha Yamim. And therefore, since there's no kosher bakery, I don't want to say kosher, because the Pas Akum was also kosher, but when there's no Jewish bakery, so you can buy from the non-Jew. Yeah. Say in the city. We'll see some Rishonim will say, we're not going to do all these Rishonim inside, but I'll put them on the Makoros if you want to. Like, a lot of them just like overlap 90% and they'll like have 10% slightly different. So I don't know, like, it's a little tedious to have to read through all those Rishonim, but some of them will say that you could be, Rabbi Yochanan's saying that you can, if it's besadeh velo be'ir, it's mashma that even if you're 1 inch outside the sadeh, you can... You don't at 1 inch outside the ear. You don't have to go back into the city to go to the kosher bakery. You can just eat the pas palter, right? So that's within the issur of pas palter. Like if you're eating pas palter and you hold, you can't eat pas palter in the same city as there's a palter Yisrael. So there he says it's in the city. Now you got to remember, cities in those days were small, right? They were neighborhoods. What we would call a neighborhood, they called a city. So it was pretty much I'd say if it's local driving distance. You know, I can go to Woodburn, you know, it's in camp, you know, you do things that you would never have a havamin of doing when you're in the city. So like, I think, oh yeah, I want to go out to dinner. Let's go to Woodburn. Like, it's an hour and a half. Like, what are you, crazy? It's an hour and a half there. It's 3 hours of driving to get some doggies. Like, yeah, it's the summer. It's okay. You know, that's just the way we think. So we think of that as local, but that's not. Local is Como, pizza, and sushi, whatever. It's not going to Woodburn. Yeah.
So it's basically a horror, but everyone agrees that if it's like Sashta Kana, or if you're eating on the same plate, or if like you're certain situations, like you said, putting a foot out of the city, that is completely fine. How could making it, does going into a city, or does not having 3 days without bread, or does whatever, all that type of stuff, or does not sharing a plate, does that make it like completely not kosher? Like if you are over a Pas Akum, what's the problem? Is it still like clearly kosher?
Ah, so it's... I think that question and the question you asked before are the same. They have the same answer. I think really you have to cheshbon, how do we treat this pass? You know, I think that one answer is going to sort of try to answer all those questions in one fell swoop. So okay, that's point number two. And point number 2b is Gambi Yerushalmi, Shekosav La'el, right, we'll go to that Yerushalmi in the Rif. Also, Kamar She'im Emu Alav Umatira, right? So the Lashon Im Emu, or if you look in the Pirushim on the and on the Yerushalmi, I think it was in the Pnei Moshe, one of the Achronim. The Yerushalmi doesn't have Rishonim who write running commentaries, but they have a few Achronim who write running commentaries, Rashi-style commentaries. So they have a Korban Aida on the Pnei Moshe. So I think it was the Pnei Moshe who writes that Imamu is Gimgamu. Like, they were a little iffy on that. I think Imamu literally means they flickered. Right, like when you have a candle that's flickering. So they weren't so convinced. They were a little wishy-washy on that takana. Ibnei Chayei Nefesh. Why? Because everybody needed bread, and they were very... it wasn't a common thing in those days that Jewish bakeries would just open up. Like, I don't know exactly what the reason was, but it was things were more. It was much more difficult to be a Jew in those days, you know, and. I guess they weren't so keen on kosher bakeries just popping up everywhere. Yeah.
Is there a reason for why we're not in the situation of the matzah because of the lack of accessibility? What do you say nowadays when you do have more accessibility that we should undo the...
So that's the question, meaning how are we... What are we accepting?
How do we claim that? Like, oh, like it's almost like... It's like they have... There's a thing, we have to have this pause. And like we can't do that because of reason X. Now we got rid of reason X, and like we now have accessibility.
Right. So,
does that uproot the gezeira, or is the gezeira now just not? Like, is it completely uprooted, or is it just like not being?
So I think what we end up with is that there are two schools of thought when where we are here. Number one is you have Tosfos and the Rush, and you have basically the tradition of the Bali at Tosfos is we don't keep Pas Yisrael. It's not a thing. Like, it's really, and then the Kasha is going to become, so what is the Ramah talking about in Shulchan Aruch? The Ramah basically says, no, you can't eat Pas Balabais, but you can eat Pas Palter. Right? Like, why? If there's no such thing, there's no such thing. I mean, if we don't care about Pas Yisrael, period, why are we all of a sudden, machmir that I would never buy from my next door neighbor. I would never eat my next door neighbor's bread, but I would go to the store and buy Wonder Bread or whatever the brands are that are kosher. So why is that okay? Right. So we'll hopefully have a little time to discuss later. The commercially processed breads, maybe those aren't even paspalter. Maybe that's even less than paspalter. Like, that's already.
Would anything in my neighborhood
be considered pas,
or is it just a whole different language?
Why isn't it pas?
Not just bread and water, you have a ton of
chemical. Yeah, but at the very least, pasaba bikisnin is also pas. Meaning, but, if you ever see like the frum brands of cookies, you gotta buy a cookie or a Danish in those plastic wrap. So it always says Mutti's Danish or whatever, and it says Pas Yisroel on it, and most assume that Pas Yisroel versus Pas Akum applies to all things that are considered Pas, and also Pas Ababekisnin, which is cakes, cookies, donuts, things like that. It wouldn't necessarily apply to like cereal and pasta. Those are like the things that even if you ate a full meal of them, you wouldn't wash and bench no matter what. Like, you could eat 10 bowls of cereal, you still don't wash, even though it's all mizonos and whatever, because there's no tsuras apas. It's not considered possible. If you ate like a whole birthday cake, you would have to wash and bench on that. If you ate 15 donuts or whatever, something along those 100 cookies, I don't know. So you'd have to wash and bench on that. But you could eat 10 plates of spaghetti and you don't wash. So that probably is not subject to the laws of Pas Yisrael. But the other things would be. All right, let's go to the third point now. So second point was, again, that they were makel on Pas Yisrael and the Yerushalmi. And the third one, va'odam Rabbi Yerushalmi, perkel shah, chametz, this is in Maseches Psachim here, right? I think, so here, he writes, Chametz shel oved kochavim she'avar alav ha-pesach muter bahana ha-ba'achila oser. Right? So if you have, right, this is every year at the end of Pesach, what happens? The rabbi has to put out a list, which stores are you allowed to buy at and which stores are not allowed to buy at, right? Because which ones are owned by a Jew? It turns out all the stores are owned by Jews. You find out afterwards, you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to buy from like one store. Every other store is owned by a Jew. So if it's owned by a guy, you're allowed to get hana, but you're not allowed to eat it. Right? And then the Gemara says further, what does that mean? Masnisin b'makom shenagu shelo lechol pas shelo v'kochamim. Right? The Mishnah, which says you're not allowed to eat the chametz. Why? Because that has nothing to do with chametz. That has to do with they didn't eat pas akum. Avo b'makom shenagu lechol pas shelo v'kochamim muter afilu b'achila. So what does the Gemara say? It's mutter even to eat the chametz owned by a non-Jew over Pesach if you don't keep Pasakum. Well, what do you mean if you don't keep Pasakum? If you don't keep, if you don't keep Pasakum, what makes you think you keep chametz? What makes you think you keep the laws of Pesach? The answer is one was more mandatory than the other. Keeping Hilchos Pesach, meaning chametz shavrel of a Pesach is an issur derabanan. It's a knas. We said we don't like it when, we don't want Jews to violate Bayera Bayimatzeh. So we put a knas on the chametz. And we said if you owned it over Pesach, you have to get rid of it. It's Asur Ba'anah. So that Isur Derabbanan everybody cares about, but this Isur Derabbanan nobody cares about? And the answer is yes. Yes, it seems very clear, says the Rosh, that the Gemara says some places they cared about Pas Akum and some places they didn't care about Pas Akum. So you see clearly that this gzeira of Pas Akum never caught on in all of the places. There were some places where it did catch on, and therefore they said, you're not allowed to eat chametz of a Pesach of a goy. Not because of chametz, because of Pas Akum. But some places they didn't, they ate Pas Akum, so they could eat it.
Even though it was overdone
by a goy. Goy, for a goy to own chametz on Pesach is nothing. Fine. So this is the rush. And this is where Tosfos and the Rush seem to be saying. And again, if you look in the tour, when he comments on his father, the Rush, right? Also the Rush was a world traveler. Not really. I take that back. The Rush migrated from one European country to another halfway through his life, right? You know the whole Maisa of the Rush. We talked about this very bekitzer. The Marami Rutenberg was the Rush's Rebbe. And he was put into jail by the German government. Germans were always lovely people. So they took him and they held him for ransom. That was a standard business practice in those days. The Jews, like you read about the Gemaras about Pidyon Shvuyim, they're like, yeah, that was something people did. They grabbed you off the street and they held you for ransom, and then, you know, when you paid the ransom, they gave you back and everything was forgiven. You know? But they put the Marami Rutenberg. He was officially, I guess, the chief rabbi of Germany, and they realized this guy is a big deal, and the Jews are gonna pay up big time in order to ransom him out of jail. So they put him in jail, and he put out a takana forbidding anybody from paying the ransom. And he said, even after I die, you're not allowed to pay to ransom my body. So, and they kept it. The Jews were steadfast. They didn't pay the ransom, and he died in jail. And only many years after his death was his body even ransomed. Once everything had cooled off, they ransomed his body. So the Rush realized that he was next, because he was the top Talmud of the Maram, and he realized they're going to take him next. So he got out of town and he went to where things were safe. You know, he was a couple hundred years early for things to become less safe, but he went to where things were nice and calm in Spain. So he ended up in Spain, and that's, he developed a relationship with some of the Gedolim of Spain, like most notably the Rashba. Right, so the Rush and the Rashba had a nice correspondence. And that really, if you think about the wheels of Jewish history churning, if you want to know where the Shulchan Aruch came from, so the Shulchan Aruch came from the Germans taking the Maharam and putting him in jail. Why? Because the Rush ran away after that to Spain. He started to correspond with a lot of the Spanish Gedolim. And he got a lot of had access to a lot of the Sephardi practices that really the Rebbe of the Rashba was the Ramban. And the Ramban had already left to go to Eretz Yisrael by that time. I don't know if he was still alive or not. But he finished out his life in Eretz Yisrael. That was a different Maisa Shahaya with the whole debate with Pablo Cristiani. You guys ever heard of this stuff? It's very... Jewish history is very interesting. I know, like, when you have a class about it in high school, sometimes it sounds boring. But in reality, if you take out the fact that, like, if you were living through it, it was not so geschmack. But, like, after the fact, we have a very, very lively and interesting history. So the Ramban had already fled. So the unofficial, official chief rabbi of Spain was the Rashba. His top Talmud was, his two biggest Talmudim were and the Rashba. And the Rashba was considered to be like the chief rabbi of Spain. So no, he was Sephardi. But the Ramban had adopted a lot of the styles, meaning before the Ramban, you had like the styles of the Rif, the Rimigash, the Rambam, much more of a Sakalacha type style on how to learn up Shas. And the Ramban was really the first one to sort of bridge the gap between the style of the Balei HaTosfos of comparing and contrasting Gemaras and trying to shtel to all the different sugyas and have them fit hand in hand with one another. So he took the traditions of Sfard that he had, and he combined them with the traditions of the Balei Tosfos. That's why you find the style of the Rambam and the Rashba and the Ritva. They're very, you know, very similar to the Lamdisha style of Tosfos and the Rush, as opposed to the Rif and the Rambam. That's very straight halacha l'maisa. You know, they try to just paskin. And, you know, like the lumdus that comes from it is basically manufactured from our trying to figure out how they got to that psak. But it's not in the words itself. Right? So.
I saw something like the riff, if two of the three of the riff, Rosh and Ramam, like hold by one psak, that's what we hold by. Or
that's the Shulchan Aruch style. He says, I'm going to go best two out of three. Except when he doesn't, though. Like, there are many exceptions to the rule, but that's the rule we're starting with. You know, so he goes to best two out of three. So getting back to this, so when the Rush came to Spain, and he sort of established connections with many of this. So he had the traditions of the Balei HaTosfos, and he came, you know, his limud was France and Germany, and with Rashi and the Balei HaTosfos, and I mean, that was a little bit before, but that's through his Rebbe, he had those traditions, and then he sort of got together with the Gedolim of Spain, and his son Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher was the author of the Tur, the Bala Turim. He was the author of the Tur. He was the first one who had all of these traditions side by side. So he felt compelled to sort of write a halachic digest to speak out the main shitos that are halacha lemaisa in all of these sugyas, and he gave the format, the Dalet Chalkei Shulchan Aruch format, you know, and he was the first, you know, predecessor to the Shulchan Aruch, and then the Beis Yosef and the Ramah wrote on the tour, and eventually led to the publication of the Shulchan Aruch, the single most unifying document that the Jewish people ever had since the publication of Talmud Bavli. So if you think about it, in one way, strange way, but the Germans throwing the Marami Rutenberg in jail is the reason the Shulchan Aruch eventually came to be. You know, that's the strange way that Hashem runs the world. You know, that if they wouldn't have thrown him in jail, then the Rush would have never run away, and then his son would have never had that dual exposure to the various traditions, to the fact that he wanted to sort of unite them and put everything together, which eventually became the Shulchan Aruch.
The Rush's son was the Balaturim.
The Rush's son is Rabbi Yaakov Balaturim, the Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher, right? He wrote the tour, which was the style that the Beis Yosef and the Ramah picked up. Yeah, a couple hundred years later, but So anyway, getting back to this, so that's the sheet of the Rush where we're going to have. He basically says we don't keep Pas Yisrael, we eat Pas Akum, right? We're from the places that didn't accept this Takana. However, within those who do accept it, you have the Ran, you have the Rif a little bit. Rif, quoting the Yerushalmi, it's hard to know where he goes with it, right? Then you have the Rambam, who's the most machmir. Although, I don't know if you noticed it, but the Ran's presentation of the Rambam is not accurate. The way the Ran quotes the Rambam versus the way the Rambam actually says it, it's not accurate. Basically, the Ran presents two possibilities within Rabbi Yochanan, Chelbo and Rabbi Yochanan, right? The Ran presents possibility number one is that, what did each one say? See, Reb Chelbo says that you're only allowed to eat, you're never allowed to eat pas balabais. You're only allowed to eat pas palter. But when are you allowed to eat pas palter? B'makom deleika Yisrael. Right? Makom deleika Yisrael. And by the way, what does it mean Yisrael? There's no Jew baking in his home? So I'll try to show, I didn't put those on the Makoros. I'll try to put them on the next set of Makoros. There's a cute machlokes between the Me'iri and the Piskei Harid. Right? Some of the, you know, second tier Rishonim from the, you know, obviously you have the mainstream, most mainstream Rishonim, and then obviously the Me'iri and the Rid. They're real Rishonim. They're not trying to, but in terms of usage, they're more second tier in terms of, you know, it's not a Rosh, it's not a Rambam, it's not, but you have, so there's a Machlokes. What does it mean there's no Pas Yisrael? So does it mean there's no Jewish bakery? Or does it mean there's no Jew baking bread in his home? So the Me'iri writes, Pashut means there's no Jewish bakery. What are we kidding here? Like, you're going to raid everybody's home and have to go see what's going on in his house? But it happens to be the Piskei Rid writes, no, it means if there's a Jew that you could go to his house and buy some bread from him, even though he's not, it's not for sale. But if you know, you have a friend who you know bakes very good challah and you want to go get the challah and you'll pay for it, then you have to go pay for it. You can't eat paspalter from a non-Jew. However, if you look in the Rif itself, the Rif has... It's on page Yudalad Amid Aleph in the Dapi Arif. So the Rif has these Hagos Me Alphas Yashan. So apparently they have the better, older Girsos of the Rif. So there he writes in Os Aleph, he adds one important word. He says, B'makam Deleika Yisrael. He says, no, B'makam Deleika Palter Yisrael. So you see already the Rif himself disagrees with the Piskei Rid. The Rif holds, we're not talking about every balabas baking bread. You have to raid your neighbor's house and go get some bread. It means you, when there's no Jewish bakery, you can go to a non-Jewish bakery. So that's Rav Chalbo Shita, right? So the Ran says, okay, so you have Rav Chalbo and then you have Rav Yochanan. What is it? And Rav Yochanan says that's only talking about Besada. But Be'ir, you can't buy paspalter from a non-Jew. So the Ran says there's a few variables, there's a few ways you can learn this. Meaning, are they saying two separate things? Reb Chalbo holds, yeah, you're allowed to buy paspalter, kolzman that there's no palter Yisrael. Right? So that's easy enough. If there's a Jewish bakery, you got to go to the Jewish bakery. If there's no Jewish bakery, you go to the Goyish bakery. Fine. But Reb Yochanan says, no. There could be a Jewish bakery. There could be a non-Jewish bakery. But if it's in the city, you can eat paspalter even if there's a Jewish bakery going on. I'm sorry. If it's in the Sadeh, you can eat paspalter even if there's a Jewish. Even if the guy next to you is eating pas Yisrael and he'll be glad to share with you. But no, if you're in the Sadeh, you don't have to care, right? Or you can combine the two and you could say no. There, Rabbi Yochanan is adding a chumrah to Rabbi Chalbo. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, "Wait, what's Rabbi Yochanan saying?" Right, there's no pas Yisrael, and you're in the Sadeh, then you can eat pas palter. But if there's pas Yisrael, if there's no pas Yisrael and you're in the ear, you still can't eat pas palter. And that is, in fact, how the Rambam paskins. The Rambam basically says, you can, even when you, he combines both chumras. I'll try to read it inside, one sec. What is it? Yid Zayin Yid Beis? Yeah. Yid Zayin Yid Beis in the Ram. Afal pisha osru pas goyim, yesh mekomo shemekilin bedover. Velokim pasmen anachto magoy, bemakom she'en sham nachtom Yisrael. So you could use a non-Jewish baker when there's no Jewish baker. Uba sadeh mipnei shisha sarchak. So the Rambam says there's two variables. Number one, no kosher bakery, no Jewish bakery. Number two, you're not at home where you could set up shop and bake yourself. The Rambam would say if there's no Jewish bakery, you become the Jewish bakery in your own kitchen, right? But okay, you're out of the house. You can't. You're at work. You can't all of a sudden start going into the kitchen at work and baking bread. So okay, then you could buy the pas palter, as long as there's no pas Yisrael available. Yeah.
Later on, says it needs to sound like deeper into the Sadeh, not just like on the border where you can easily just walk into the city.
Right, right. The Sadeh, right. So the Sadeh is a good question. What does it mean by Sadeh? Like you're. It means like in those days they had specific areas. You know, you go into the, you know. Nowadays it's weird because everywhere we are, there's just so much food readily available at a restaurant. Like you go into Manhattan, so you know if you're not from Manhattan, you don't have shaychus to any of the homes in Manhattan. It's not like you're gonna go up to a random apartment building of somebody you know when you're at work, right? You're in Lower Manhattan. It's just everything's office buildings. Now there are people who live there, but we don't have such a shaychus to most of the people who live there unless you're from there. You don't really, it's not like you can go to somebody's home and eat over for lunch at the guy's house. But, so that would be called probably Besada in those days. But it's just not a residential area. Like you're going there to work, and when you're done with work, you're going to go back to your house. Right, there was the residential area. Like think about in Maseches Brachos, when they talk about, they used to daven Marav Besada. right? So they wanted to all walk home together. What do you mean walking? They all lived in the same place? No, they didn't. None of them lived in the Sada, right? You go on the train. You go to the train home from Manhattan at the end of the business day. You get all the Yidden on the train. They're all going to the Five Towns and Teaneck and wherever else they're coming, Brooklyn, wherever they're coming from over there. They're not all sticking around in Lower Manhattan to go back to their apartment, which is right near their business district. You know, so that I think that's a better illustration of the Sada. It just wasn't residential, so it wasn't shaykh that you're going to go to your kitchen and start baking bread now. You know, you have to buy whatever's available. So there's a bread truck, you know, that's selling bread from this guy's bakery. You're allowed to go to the bread truck and buy the bread. You don't have to, start baking on the spot. That's what he calls a shasar chak. You just don't have access to a kitchen where you can bake your own pasi shrol. That makes sense? Okay. So he says, but never, ever, ever pas balabatim. Never. Ein sham misha morabola hakel. Right, she ikar agzera mishum chasnas vim yochal pas balabatim yavo lisod etzlan. Right, because that's the ikar agzera of chasnas. If you're going to go to your friend, your non-Jewish friend's house to eat a meal, he's going to serve you his bread, and you're going to be schmoozing the whole time. You're going to get to be best buddies. That's already an isser of chasnas.
According to the Rambam, if you make a field and it is pasishal, then you're able to.
You have to eat it. You can't eat the pas palter. Right, never pas balabayis, and only if there's no pas yisrael accessible and you can't bake it yourself. If you're home, you can bake it yourself, right? But notice the lashon of the Rambam. It says afal pisha asur pas goyim yesh mekomo shemekilim bedover. So what's the Rambam is clearly saying that you want to know who the kulas are. You want to read the Hemshecha Gemara. You see how much differently he's reading the Gemara than Tosfos and the Rush. Tells them the Rosh are learning. There's two separate people. There's the Mekilin. We don't talk about them in the Gemara at all. And then there's the Machmirim, who keep the Takana. And within the Machmirim, there are those who are Mekel for Pas Palter. Right? But that's within the Dasa Machmirim. The Rambam is saying, no, you want to know who the Mekilim are? They're the ones in the Hemshech of the Gemara. Yeah, there was no formal takana, but we have certain kulas that we throw in there. There were never, in the Rambam's world, there was never anyone who didn't accept this takana. The mekilim are the ones who eat pas palter, and not really. they eat pas palter in a real shasar chak, but that's the big kula for the Rambam. He's not willing to budge and say that there were people who just ate pas akum. That's impossible. Right? So he's putting together all these sources and just saying, no. All the heterim you find in the Yerushalmi and all the heterim you find in... And how's he going to read that Gemara in Psachim? How's he going to read the Rosh's Raya from Psachim? Very easy, he's going to read the Rosh's Raya from Psachim. Right? In the place... In other words, in the place where they're makbid on Pas Yisrael, so you can't eat the goy's Chomet Shavu Pesach. But in a place where they eat Pas Akum, you can eat the goy's Chamash Olah Pesach. Yeah, if you're in the Sadeh and there's no Pas Yisrael available and he's a palter, you know, that's what the Gemara meant. Not like, you know, you're going to go to your friend's house and say, listen, we don't have any chametz, it's Motzai Pesach. You have anything that you baked today? You want some fresh bread? Right? So it's almost impossible to understand that Metzias, but that's how the Rambam viewed it. The Heter to eat Pas Akum was never... You know, was never what we would think of Pas Akum. It was Pas Palter when there's no Pas Yisrael and you're in the field, or you can't bake your own Pas Yisrael. So that's really the way the Rambam is. And the Ran has like a kula version, a more makel version of the Rambam. How does the Ran say? You guys got a chance to. Oh, so we'll get to that a little bit. That's the famous kula of the Rashba, right? He quotes two Rashbas over here. But his point is he's saying that like clearly the daya that we accept. Clearly the daya that we accept is the Reb Yochanan Reb Chelbo daya. It can't be this random daya that the Gemara rejected out of hand, because then why are we speaking about this daya that we don't hold of? That's ridiculous. Right, that's at the end. That's already before he goes. But beforehand, he goes through the... let's see where he has it here. He quotes the Rashba a little bit, and then he says, yeah, I'll tell you what I think is the halacha. Vasikna delahutu alana alismachal yushalmi vizad the dilma sovala command amr hutar umaskana de gemara dilan delahutar elakach roy lomar. The lefum maskana de gemara dilan nami hutar devade reb chelba reb yochanan lo shaklu v'taru atousa de to kol olam. So he says, it has to say the maskana of our gemara against the Yerushalmi is that pasakam is aser, and that's why they're speaking about, well, when are we makel? Im yisid the kushna milz lo hutar klal heichro lechalik meinir the sade umakam sheish bo palti Yisrael ein bo. Right, so he's saying it's machlokes amoraim. The Rav Yosi Sfirle, the Rebbe lo hiter pas klal. Ela shaolam tohu bekach veikam and the polig alev amar the Rebbe hiter es hapas. Rebbe Chelbo, Rebbe Yochanan shaklu v'tar alibi der mandamar achi. V'hayna darmin and afilu mandamar mechlal diikam mandamar. The cave of the shaklu v'tar alibay naktinan kavasei. Right. So he's saying that they're going within this shita, and therefore we paskin the way they do. Right, but where does... Ugh, I missed the part that I was looking for. Right, he quotes the Rambam early on. Hani Lishni Plige. Right, he misquotes the Rambam. If you look in the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam I just read, he points out that the Ran is misquoting the Rambam. But he says that... V'timaniich natar pas afila shel palter v'afila besade. Right. So what does he say? Kevan shapas mi devreim va'od lo pashti sur barov Yisrael. For some reason I'm not catching the line I was looking for. All right, Lemaisa, he has a very similar psak to the Rambam, but I can't remember where he was makel. He was a little more makel than the Rambam. I think he paskins like that Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chelbo are not adding to one another. That we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan and not like Rabbi Chelbo. So Rabbi Chelbo was the one who said that it's only a question of when there's no when there's no Pas Yisrael that's Matsui. So he says, no, we accept Rabbi Yochanan that he's not, you can eat Pas Yisrael. You can eat pas palter besad devalobiir, and it doesn't matter whether there's pas Yisrael matzui or not matzui, right? And then in the end, like you guys were saying, u'le'inyam ishiyesh lo pas besalo v'lokech mipalter over kochavim mebnei chashivus social pas k'moshe no'agin achshav, right? So nowadays, let's say you're in the sadeh and you have pas Yisrael, you could eat the pas Yisrael, but you just got this delicious pas palter that's even better. What?
According to the Ran, you could eat the paspalter.
Right, so the Ran would say you could eat the paspalter, and he quotes the Rashba b'shem Rabbeinu Yona, right? He quotes Rabbeinu Yona as the Rebbe of the Rashba. Yes. Rabbeinu Yona was not exactly the Rebbe of the Rashba, but Rabbeinu Yona was a contemporary of the Ramban, and he was actually related to the Ramban also. They were cousins and mechutanim. So he calls him the Rebbe of the Rashba. Dekev and shehutar pashal palter legamre hutra. Called Hecha the Lake of Palta Yisrael. She came and she died to Shalodim Noche Yosef, a Pashal Paltim, and Nech Hashivusa, Hareza Kepas the Chukalo, the Chena Din, Hecha Sheesh Palta Yisrael, Shapasha Palta Alvi Kochavim, Noe Hemenu. So this is a tremendous kula. He says, what does it mean a Shasar Chak? Shasar Chak doesn't mean like, oh no, I'm going to starve without any bread, or oh no, I'm only going to be able to eat a tiny amount of food. It means I'd really rather eat this Pas Palter. It's much better. So it's only considered that there's a Palter Yisrael when there's comparable Pas Yisrael to the Pas Akum.
This quote on Asur Pana, like, if the Palter is more, is cheaper than like the process of health?
So it's a good question. I wouldn't have thought so. I would think that if it was like prohibitive, meaning if it would, if everybody likes a good bargain, you know, but Lamaisa, you know, I can afford it. You know, if it's a dollar more for the loaf of the Pas Yisrael, we can all afford the Pas Yisrael.
We're talking about what the actual value is.
Right. Here he's saying that the bread itself is more geschmack. The Pas Palter is more geschmack. So there, he says you can eat the Pas Palter. But, it, you know, it, I think the other thing is it prohibitively more expensive? Or is it, you know, if you don't have the dollar, you don't have it. So, but he's saying that if it's just better, that's good enough. But if you have the dollar and you just don't feel like spending it, because why should I? So I think there probably you'd have to spend it. Okay. So maybe we'll just wrap up with the Mechaber and the Ramah, right? So the Mechaber and the Ramah have a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch, where the Ramah, the Mechaber seems to accept the Rambam. Right, it's in Sif Beis, in Kufyat Beis. So the Mechaber basically quotes the Rambam straight up, and he doesn't go with the coolers of the Ran. And he says basically you need to be. Although we'll see, the Mechaber throughout the Simen has other coolers, but this is not on his list of coolers right now. And he says that it's only mutter to eat pas palter, never eat mutter to eat pas balabais, it's mutter to eat pas palter if there's no pas Yisrael and you're not in a position where you could bake for yourself, meaning you're besada. That, and then the Ramah throws in there, and they're yesh mekilin, right? They're yesh mekilin. Actually, I take it back. The Shulchan Aruch writes that yesh mekilin liknos minachtom amakom she'in sham nachtom Yisrael, right? It's something we it can be, some are makel to buy from a non-Jewish baker when there's no Jewish baker, and then the Ramah adds in, and there's yesh mekil even more than that when there is a nachtom Yisrael, but you can't. But then they both say you can't eat pas bala bias, right? Fine. Yeah. The real kasha is on the Ramah. The Ramah seems to be making this up. Meaning we had two traditions. We had the tradition of the Balei HaTosfos and the Rush, which was there the people who are Mekel are the ones who don't accept this Gzeira. Right? And they hold Heter Gomer. And then you have the traditions of the those who say no, the kulas are to be makel for certain types of pas palter, but not just to be makel across the board. So you have the Rambam and the Ran, and you see the Rashba and the Ritva. They all have certain variables. They're all basically in the same school of thought, and there are certain variables that they differ on. But they're basically saying pas palter is not even pas palter is not mutter across the board, right? So, and here you have the Ramah coming in nowhere. The Ramah is saying, yeah, you can eat Pas Palter even when there's Pas Yisrael available. So then just say, I can eat Pas Balabais. Once you're going to say that there's no such thing as Pas Yisrael and Pas Akum, just let me eat the Pas Akum. So where is he coming from? And really, the Shach gives him a hard time about that. The Shach says that he doesn't know what the Ramah is talking about. He says, look in the Rush, look in the Tosfos, and he also quotes this Mordechai. He says, look in the Mordechai. They're all basically saying that it's Heter Gomer. There's no Isser Pasakum. We don't hold by it, and therefore you can eat whatever you want. But he doesn't hold like them. He's nobody.
He could like group them with them, sort of like he gives different treatises based on only I'm due to the Calder, and not Ligamri, and then whatever he ends up doing.
Yeah, I hear you, but the Shach really doesn't understand what the Ramah is talking about, and then he says at the end, look, I mean, you have this Sevetar Aruch who kind of says like the Ramah also, and he's a real Rishon, but late Rishon, but a real Rishon, and he doesn't really go further than that. He sort of leaves it as a tzarech yud. So if you look, I gave you from the commentary of Yonasan Eibeschitz's commentary. He has a bunch of commentaries on Yoredeia. His main commentary on Yoredeia is called the Kresi Uplesi. This is smaller stuff in the Divrei Yonasan. He has some ha'aris here. So he basically says, and also I found later that the same thing in the Divrei Yonasan is found in the Levush. The Levush was an earlier commentary on, officially it was a commentary on the tour, but it's used as a commentary on Shulchan Aruch. So the Levush has this idea that basically we're saying that really, Meikar Adin, even Pas Bala Bais is mutter, and that's the way we should hold. But the Ramah, he couldn't do it. You know, he couldn't bring himself to be matir with no holds barred. Everything is mutter. You can eat Pas Bala Bais. You can go to your next door neighbor's house, and as long as the bread is kosher, you can eat the bread, no problem. He couldn't do it, so he. So he said, it has to at least be paspalter. It's too much of a chashash of chasnas. And even though they didn't accept the gzeira, he's like, how much are you going to reject already? You know, you're rejecting the whole gzeira? Even what's so easy to go to the bakery and to buy bread from the non-Jewish bakery, that's easy for everybody to do. So what was the whole reason? What was the whole reason that they rejected the gzeira? Because for whatever reason, I don't know why, they couldn't open up Jewish bakeries. Right? And it was a gzeira she'in rovat sibur yichol lamad ba. It was too difficult for the Jews. Again, we don't even understand what that means. It was too difficult to open up a Jewish bakery? Like, you can't go 5 minutes in the Catskills without hitting a Jewish bakery. Like, they're not even open 10 months a year and they open Jewish bakeries. But it just shows you how different our world is than whatever was going on at that time. You know? So they couldn't open up a Jewish bakery. LMI, they had no choice. They had to buy the non-Jewish bread. But to then go ahead and say, we're just going to tell you to go eat by the Baal Batim, even if we rejected the whole Gzeira, but at least keep the spirit of the law, right? Keep the something. You shouldn't reject the whole thing. So the Ramah said, you at least have to buy Pas Palter. You can't buy Pas Akum Mamish. Even though it seems that the Rishonim, whom the Ramah is relying on, would say that you could buy Pas Baal Bais. But he himself is not willing to go that far. So that's the simple, what we call the Baal Batashep shot in the Ramah. Could be next time we'll try to see something else in the Ramah also, maybe. But Lamaisa, it seems that the Ramah, although he's makel to allow Pas Palter all the time, even when you could go to 100 Jewish bakeries, you could still go to the non-Jewish bakery, still he's not willing to go so far as to be mater pas baal bais, but not for a real halachic reason, just because it's so nakishmak to do that. Like he says, you gotta at least try. No, it doesn't fit with the Rishonim, really. The Rishonim seem to say everything. The Ramah sounds like we'll never be mater pas baal bais, never. Right? The Rishonim, who you're relying on, are Matir Pas Baal Bais, Lecharchila? You can't. You can't. You know, that seems that he's just throwing up his hands and saying, you're not allowed. So, okay. So we'll leave it at that for now.